Do you know, it's, I can't, may I, I've just got to say that I've been a superintendent now for a number of years, and I can remember the building out the back. I can remember discussions on whether we could actually replace the roof or not, because I won't say, but the foundations are very unique here. And so I think they're almost invisible. So we had to find some light metal that would fit. It's been a story, and you've been absolutely, it is not the same church. That's it. Please, we thank God for everything that's happened in the past. But God is into progress, and I just want to congratulate you all, and Eddie and Avril and the rest of you here. It is absolutely marvellous. Your next problem is, where do you go when you're full? So start praying about that, won't you? Because I don't think we can put a balcony in here. You definitely can't, because I know about the foundations. So that's really good. So please, whoever played any part in this, thank you very much. It is an absolute credit to the witness of our denomination. And if we're allowed to be proud, I think we are occasionally, we're very proud of what you've achieved here. And Eddie as well. I can't believe Eddie is so good. He could be so wrong about his football and so right about being a pastor. So that is really good. Okay, just like to say, I brought a couple of leaflets with me. We don't have an adult summer camp in the Midlands region now. We used to call it Infuse. We have a youth one. So this is not for the young people. But some of you I know may have tents and caravans, like to go away in the summer. Well, we've got, we call it Elam Festival. It's in the northeast, and it's from the 24th of July to the 2nd of August. And if you're interested in going, there's some leaflets here, and we have a website, Elam Festival, and you'd be welcome. So if you're looking for, maybe you've got a caravan, you like camping or something like that, or you, for whatever reason, the dates didn't fit in with Infuse down at Malvern, then you're very welcome. I'll just leave them there. That's great. That's good. I've got two sermons here, one very long and one long. Which do you want? Let's take a vote. Who wants the very long one? Who wants the just the slightly shorter one? Okay. Well, can't blame me. Great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the celebration we've had. From the little ones right the way through, we've been able to say thank you to you. We've honoured those who've worked in the building. That is only correct. We've honoured those who have given. That's only correct. We've honoured those in leadership who had the vision and kept the thing moving to completion. And we thank you for them. They should be honoured. But Lord, above all, we want to honour you. For without your mercy and your grace, none of us would be here. Without your goodness to us, we would not have the desire to reach this community. And I pray, Lord, that this afternoon's meeting will be as blessed as this one. Amen. 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 If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. You'll be pleased to hear that I've forgotten the rest of the notes, so it'll be a shorter sermon. Okay. John chapter 7. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that we know. If I quote a verse, you'd say, oh, you might even be able to finish it for me. But sometimes we don't know where they are or the context in which it's said. And that's very important. So if we were to say to you, let not your hearts be troubled, you'd think of a funeral service. But it wasn't given at a funeral service. It was given in the upper room to the disciples. And there's a very well-known verse I'd like to read to you. And I'm going to read verse 14 of chapter 7, and then I'm going to jump across to verse 37. Okay, verse 14. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. So, Jesus went up to the temple halfway through the feast. The feast, of course, was the Feast of Tabernacles that lasted for 7 days. So, Jesus went up halfway through. Okay, then we go to verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, and this is the verse you'll know, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his word, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from Bethlehem? Come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid his hand on him. Well, I'm just going to move a little further through this. So we have a 7-day feast. The Jews had feasts. They were like religious bank holidays. Some of you are old enough to remember when Good Friday was a religious day in our country. Sadly, that's gone now. The God is money, and Jesus warned us of that, and money's taken over everything. But halfway through this 7 days, Jesus goes up. Now, what was special about this feast was that as part of it, the priest would go to the pool of Siloam, and he would have a golden pitcher. It's a very posh vase, a gold vase. And he would go down, and he would fill it through with water, and he'd carry it through Jerusalem. Now, lots of other things were happening. They were living in bivouacs also, and he would pour it out on the temple. Now, that was something that people really wanted to do. So what would happen is, people would get as high as they could to see it. That was the highlight, to see the priest coming with a golden pitcher of water. And what would happen is, the people would march around the city. And they would wave palm branches. And it was a really happy time. It was called, Josephus says it was the greatest feast among the Jews at that time. So here we have this city of Jerusalem packed with people. Male Jews within, I think it's 10 or 20 miles, had to attend. The place was heaving. They'd be celebrating. They'd be singing with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. It was a really exciting time. It wasn't like the Day of Atonement when it was very solemn. This was a joyful, almost harvest Thanksgiving. And it's in this setting. Then on the last and greatest day, because on that day they marched around 7 times to remember the fall of Jericho. So there was a lot going on, and I could tell you a lot. I know a bit, Eddie, but I'm going to get to the important bit. And so what's happening here, the high priest is, I believe, walking past. The people are up lampposts. Well, they didn't have lampposts then, but they're climbing everywhere to see what's happening. And just as that's happening, we find there, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And that's the background. I believe that as the priest was going past with the water, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice. Because they all knew what was in it. They would have been very thirsty. It would have been very hot. And Jesus turns the attention of the crowd away from a religious festival, good as it was, nothing wrong with it, no criticism. But the point was this. Jesus is now saying to them, all those things that you've done for hundreds of years have now come to an end. Because I'm here. I'm the priest. I'm the golden pitcher. I'm the water of life. And so Jesus interrupts this service with a loud voice that says, hang on a minute. Well, not like that, but hang on a minute. If any of you are thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And then that moment, he sought to turn Israel's attention away from a shadow to the real thing, which was Jesus Christ himself. Very, very important. It was a brave thing to do, to interrupt these services. Very brave. I've conducted, I don't know, 100 weddings. I don't know how many weddings I've conducted. And there's a part in the wedding service where I stand and say, if anybody knows of any just cause why this couple not be joined in matrimony, may you now speak or forever hold your peace. You know, I've waited for hours for somebody to shout out, and nobody ever has. I just love that. I wait, I go, oh, come on, there must be something. Please. But it's never happened to you, Eddie? Never happened. That's because we do our work properly before the service, may I say. But this was like interrupting a wedding. This was like interrupting a royal, the coronation. This was the greatest day of the feast. And Jesus had the authority to interrupt it because he was the Son of God. And just like to look at what he said. He said to this, if anyone is thirsty. Now I live in the East Midlands up at Derby. And there is a rumour that the people in the East Midlands are brighter than the people in the West Midlands. Now, is that right?
No.
Right, we're going to have an intelligence test. You can, Eddie, you can miss this out. All right. Because we don't do... I nearly called him a Geordie, but that would have been bad language. Okay, here's the intelligence test. See if you're as bright as the East Midlands. If anyone... Right, who's excluded? A bit louder. Who's excluded?
No.
That's it. And here we have in this statement, Jesus opens the door up to everybody. Now, some of you know, some of you don't know. Some of you are sitting there thinking, I'm not good enough to be a Christian, and you're not. I'm not. No one here is good enough. That's why we became Christians, because we knew we weren't good enough.
Amen.
So, if anyone... So, you say, well, I'm only a teenager. But it doesn't say, it just says anyone. He said, well, I'm a pensioner, but it just says anyone. Well, I'm poor. Well, it doesn't matter if you're poor or you're rich, you're clever, you've got hair or you haven't got hair. If anyone means anyone. And you can't go home from this service today thinking to yourself, Jesus doesn't want me. He said, if anyone. I can remember on holiday, we went on the train. I might have told this story here. I don't know. We went on the train to the south of France. It's my sort of people down there, Eddie, money people, you know. And went to the south of France. And in a place, we go on the train. It takes us a year to get there. No, it doesn't. But we went to the south of France. And there's a very posh hotel in Cannes in the south of France where all the film stars stay for the Cannes Film Festival. I think it's either the Grand or the Carlton, I can't remember. What happened then? Oh, she got the joke, the 20 minute ago one. You see, in the East Midlands, they'd have got that straight away. There wouldn't have been a delay. Anyway, I want my dinner, so I'm getting on. We're outside this unbelievable hotel. It is fabulous. You know, fabulous hotel. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to get inside this hotel and have a look round. She said, they won't let you in. I said, blue eyes, I'll get in. Watch this. Watch me get in. And this is true. They didn't have a bouncer on the door, but they had a fella just outside, very smart, white shirt, black tie. And he looked fit. There's no doubt about it. You know, and I just started to walk up the pathway. They've got their own beach here, then the road, Maseratis, Ferraris outside, you name them, they've got them. Right. And I'm walking, and this guy's standing there like this, and he just goes like this to me. He goes, never said a word. Well, I don't speak French. I think, well, they should learn English, shouldn't they? And I'm stood there, and that's all he did. He went, he wouldn't let me in. He wouldn't even let me up the path. And I thought to myself, why would he not? How did he know I wasn't a millionaire? My wife said it was because he saw us get off the bus. And also I was wearing the shorts that I wear when I go to this youth camp in the summer, which might have been a giveaway. Now, that's a little silly story, but I want to illustrate this point. I promise you, if you're not a Christian, if you walk up the path to Jesus, he'll never do this to you. Whether you've got off the bus or not, whether you've got money. He said, if anyone is thirsty, and that means you have a need. It's a universal need, thirst. Wherever you go in the world, people drink. You know, in some countries they'll drink more because of the heat, others, etc. There's not any human being on this planet who doesn't drink water. Not Coke, water. I remember. You know, they do. And that's a universal need with a universal invitation. So if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, let me get to the text, and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said. So Jesus is saying, look, you've got to believe on me, but he doesn't leave us to just believe anything. He says, I want you, if you're thirsty, you're invited to come to me and drink. And you've got to believe in me as the scriptures have said. So you just can't do a make your own Jesus up. The only Jesus that will quench your thirst is the Jesus to be found in this book, as the scriptures have said. Well, the story continues. People heard this and they came to an opinion. Some of them said he's the prophet, that's fine. The other said he is the Christ. And I'm thinking, wow, at last, because some of the disciples hadn't got this far. Someone in the crowd, having heard Jesus, maybe seen some miracles, having heard him teach, spoke up and said, who is this? Some said he's the prophet. Others said he's the Christ. That's the Messiah. And I'm going, yes. Yes. And then somebody said some words. How can the Christ come from Galilee? Now, these people weren't doing anything wrong, because Jesus had just said to them, believe in me as the scriptures have said. So the man that said, he can't be the Christ, because if you listen to his accent, it's a Nazareth accent, not a Bethlehem accent. In other words, it's a Sunderland accent and not a Birmingham accent. It was obvious that Jesus was from Nazareth, where he was brought up, went to school, the family business, the synagogue, his whole life was there. And these people knew that Jesus had been brought up in Nazareth. But they knew the scripture said the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. So it says the people were divided. But you know from the Christmas story, although he was brought up in Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem. And these people missed out on understanding who Jesus was. They missed out in acknowledging the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They missed out purely because they didn't have all the information. There was one little bit of information they didn't have. They'd got it right about him, about Nazareth. They got it right about him being a prophet. But they didn't know that he was born in Bethlehem. And I say this, it was they went with the accent maybe. He sounds like he's from Nazareth. There's a fellow over there from Bethlehem. They have a different... It didn't fit. And because they didn't have all the information, they missed out on discovering who Jesus was. I'm going to stop now. You've listened ever so well. The kids have been brilliant. Let me just ask you this. Do not miss out on knowing who Jesus is for the lack of some information. Now, we don't have all the answers. We certainly don't. You'd think as arrogant and you would be right. But we might just have that piece of the jigsaw that will help you move from he's a prophet to he's the Son of God. We might have that little piece of information. We might be able to explain why he talks with a Nazareth accent, but he was born in Bethlehem. And that little bit of information can turn him from being a teacher, a good man, a prophet, into the Savior of the world. Most of us here know him as that. We'd love you to know him as that as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great morning of celebration. Great morning of family and children and teenagers being involved. It's been great. But Lord, at this moment, I don't want us to think about the building. I don't want us to think about the kids or the porter cabins or the pastor. I want us to think, Lord, about you. And I'd like everyone here to answer this question in their heart. I won't embarrass anybody. Do you know him? It's either a yes or a no. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior and as your friend? He says to every one of us, come unto me, everyone who is thirsty. All are welcome. Our prayer is that everyone here will know who he is, the Savior who died for them. While we're just praying, I'm not sure what happens here on a Sunday morning, so if I'm doing something wrong, you'll have to forgive me. I'd just like us to close our eyes. I just wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Gordon, before you hand back to Eddie, would you just pray for me? I need to become a Christian. I need God's forgiveness. Now, that's you. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. Yeah, it will be difficult. I'm going to ask you to acknowledge that you need Jesus. You don't need me. You don't need Eddie. You don't need the church. If that's you, you say, Gordon, please pray for me. I didn't know He died for me. I didn't know I was welcome, and I'd like to become a Christian. Please, will you just put your hand up and put it down? For everybody with their eyes closed, out of courtesy to me, just give prayer, because I'd like to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I will promise you. I will not draw attention to you in any way. I will tell Pastor Eddie who you are, and maybe there'll be a booklet for you or something. But if you need Jesus, will you just put your hand up now? Put it down. I'll pray. Thank you. I'm not going to continue. There may be someone else. Okay. Father, I pray for this lady who's raised her hand. I pray that you will bless her. But more than blessing, I pray that even now, the Holy Spirit will be assuring her that you love her, that you have forgiven her, and that you have a future for her. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening.